Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Thompson, and this is the ADR Hub podcast series. As I promised, we are here on part two with Bernie Mayer, the conflict resolution professional and author. Bernie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for staying true to your word and coming back for part two with us. I guess we'll just get back into it. And for those that listened to part one, we're discussing how you're soliciting feedback from the professionals in our field because you're updating your successful book, The Dynamics of Conflict Resolution. And I thought maybe just very briefly, could you just give us a recap of why you're going to come out with a new edition of that book?
Well, you know, it's been over 10 years since it came out, and I actually wrote it in 1999. So I want to update some of the concepts and the examples, create a more interactional framework for it in terms of how we understand the nature of conflict, and also incorporate some of the insights from Beyond Neutrality and Staying with Conflict, which came out after that, back into that book.
Right, and I like how you said during part one, a lot of things have happened and changed. And one of the really good things about your book is not only do you talk about theory in terms, but you explain it in your personal experiences and how you said in the first book you referred to the first Iraq war, and a lot has happened between now and then. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of conflict for you to reflect on.
No shortage of raw material, is there?
Okay, so one of the things that I really found really impactful for me when I was reading your book for the Dynamics of Conflict Resolution was how you present your version of the Wheel of Conflict. And for me, in all my bad jokes, pun intended, but also in a serious manner, your Wheel of Conflict, it prevents an easy description, but In the new version, are you going to reinvent the wheel, or tell us a bit about the?
The basic wheel will be there, but I'm going to add an outer rim to it, an outer layer to it, which I've implied in the first book.
Okay.
But that's sort of the more environmental, the contextual layers having to do with things like information and data and culture and power. That I will kind of characterize as the environment or the bedrock out of which all of the other things grow or take place.
Mm-hmm. And then for those not familiar with what we're talking about, the Wheel of Conflict, let's say off the top of my head, it's structure, emotions, communication, is it history?
And,
yep. Okay.
And in the very center of it are needs.
Right, right.
And values.
Values was the other one.
And, to give credit where credit is due, with my partners at CDI, we worked on developing something that Chris Moore put together in his book, The Mediation Process, called The Circle of Conflict.
Right.
And I kind of built off of that to what I thought actually worked better for me.
So he had the first wheel.
The Circle of Conflict's a good tool, too.
You adapted the
circles and wheels and triangles. You know, we have to have geometric figures.
Well, let me ask you, because I really think it's a great way not only for professionals in conflict resolution, but it's also the wheel is a great tool to try and get those that we're working with that are involved in the disputes and conflict on how for them to see how it's developed, how the conflict came about, but then also to see different perspectives. So I thought maybe if you can share with us briefly in practical terms, how do you use or apply the wheel in some of your situations?
Well, you know, at the center of the wheel is the concept of needs, of the different kinds of needs, survival needs, interests, identity needs. And it seems to me that what we're often trying to do is to get people to be frank and open to discussing their own needs and concerns and those of other people. But the problem is, when you're in conflict, it's hard to do that. It's hard to sometimes even access your own real, what's really driving you, and you often hear and express that in a constructive way and hear what's driving others. So what the wheel does is it provides a number of things you have to work through in order to be able to do that effectively.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you mentioned in the original version of the Dynamics of Conflict Resolution, you mentioned something that I resonated with, and I think is a very crucial element for not only mediators but all conflict resolution professionals, is developing rapport with the parties. And you mentioned in the book, as I quote, you say, quote, "What seems to be central is that people start to feel a connection with their adversaries." And I think it's a crucial element in the neutral role as a conflict resolution professional, such as a mediator, to sort of help and guide them towards that. And I was hoping that maybe you can maybe just expand on that and maybe offer a couple of tips on how to develop those connections, or as I would call, build rapport.
Well, you know, what's probably important to recognize is conflict itself is a form of connection.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have any connection with somebody, you're probably not in much conflict with them.
Good point.
And I think it's helpful sometimes to think about the energy that conflict gives is not in itself that. It's how do you turn that into a different kind of energy. And so, you know, the very first thing that I think you need to do to establish rapport is not to assume you got all the answers or you're all right and the other person, is to get beyond, you know, the dichotomous narratives that we tell.
Mm-hmm.
What I often say to people in conflict, and I guess what I often wish I could say to people in conflict, and myself included, is to be less certain.
Okay.
And I think if we can use our curiosity and our uncertainty, that really can help. And of course, the other thing that really helps is to care
mm-hmm.
about people, even if we're in conflict with them.
Right, to genuinely care.
Those are the things. If you can project that you care, that you don't assume you know it all, you know, that you're still can learn and that you're really curious about where people are coming from, I think that usually helps.
Yeah. Well, okay, so now I've got for you some quick-fire questions and just single-word answers. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Name four important skills and or traits a conflict professional needs. Four,
right,
if you can come with
single-word answers.
Oh, but you have to, because you've got a lot more questions.
But one thing, a trait, a conflict, I just named some. Curiosity.
Okay.
Openness to other points of view.
Mm-hmm.
A certain amount of humility.
Okay.
I think is really important. A sense of humor. I think is important. One that is not at other people's expense, but I think that helps. That helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. One more.
I think for me, one of the greatest things that's helped me is being able to slow down in the midst of crisis rather than mm-hmm. always speed up.
Okay. All right. Well, I know, as I expected, we're running way out of time here, and I have about 30 more things I want to talk to you about. But one of the things I definitely want to get to before we do run out of time, and we only have less than 2 minutes, so I know you haven't coined the term reflective practitioner. You have coined the term conflict engagement, but I wanted to
talk about... Well, I'm one of the people who have coined it anyhow.
But you're the first person I saw that had spoken about it. But for very quickly, explain what's a reflective practitioner, and why is it beneficial?
Well, the whole concept of reflective practice is that we are lifelong learners. And if we really want to continually grow as practitioners, we have to be able to continually reflect on what we've done. And what we have to be able to reflect on is both the impact of what we do, the real impact, and also to get past what we say we believe and look at what beliefs are embedded in our practice. So the distinction that's made between what's sometimes called theory and active in action and espoused
mm-hmm.
theory.
Right.
And to try to continually kind of close a loop between that, between what we say we think, what our actions show to show we think, what the impact of that is, and how we might reconsider and redefine those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a lifelong learning process and a very effective one. The work of Donald Schoen and Chris Argyris on reflective practice is really the basis of this.
Right, and I remember 2 years ago you gave a talk on it, and I remember you specifically saying it's for the espoused theory and then the theory in use, and look for that disconnect, and that's where there's the wealth of learning. And I still remember you talking about that. As we run out of time here, how I want to stress again, you said it in part one, but for you really engaging your fellow practitioners and professionals in this new edition of the book, and you want people to give you feedback on what they want to see, maybe you expand on or include that wasn't included last time. So how can people get this information to you?
Well, through ADR Hub, there's a discussion forum on it there, and
right.
Email me at Bernie Mayer, BERNIEMAYER, @Creighton, CREIGHTON.EDU.
Excellent. And this information will also be listed with the link for the podcast for everyone. Bernie, I want to thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I think we could have made this at least 12 parts, but I appreciate you doing the two parts with us.
And well, I'm very pleased to have the opportunity. I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks a lot.
Right. And I look forward to you having back again as you get closer towards publishing the book. When do you expect the book to come out?
Probably either very late this year or more likely early next year.
Okay, well, I'll definitely use my negotiating skills to get you back for it when it comes out again. I appreciate it again, Bernie. And for everybody listening, we always welcome feedback. This is Jeff Thompson for the ADR Hub podcast series. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.